Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my commander in geekdom, chief of staff, Frank. How are you today?
That was pretty good. I'm doing good. How are you, bud?
I'm pretty good. It is a little late for us to be recording, so I'm a little bit sleepy, but I'm ready to talk about some stuff, Frank, some stuff that's happened in my life, some stuff that's happened in your life. Actually, we're not going to talk about either of those things, unless you talk to Elvision. Yeah, those are the things we're going to be talking about, Frank, where less than a minute into the episode, if you don't count the intro, and I'm already rambling. And that's your job.
That's my job.
You're Frank Ramblings.
That's me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm gonna help you out here and ask you a very important, consequential life question. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a hot toddy, Frank, because, as I said, it was late and I didn't really want the beer, but I wanted something warm and fun, but still something with alcohol. So I went with a hot toddy.
Fun.
What do you drink? What are you drinking?
I am drinking a Mission Street Belgian style white ale.
Oh, that is excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it's really good. It's if I'm being honest, it's pretty similar to like a Blue Moon or a UFO White or something like that. But I picked it up at Trader Joe's actually, and really enjoying it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm on board for that. I love Trader Joe's. Do you love Trader Joe's?
I love Trader Joe's. I think I mentioned on last week's show that my wife and I moved to a new house, and we went on a big grocery run a few days after moving into the new place, and we spent a whole bunch of money at Trader Joe's. But now our freezer and our fridge are fully stocked for like weeks, so
that's
it was worth it.
That's good. That's good. That's really good. Frank, you know what else is really good? Go ahead. You can answer. It's okay.
Were you going to say the state of geek television?
I was going to say the state of geek television, Frank, specifically our CW shows, the ones that we somehow can't stop watching, mostly because they're quality entertainment. But also, Frank, There is Star Trek Discovery on CBS All Access. You and I, we're both fans of the Trek. You more than I. Mm-hmm. So I have things to say about Star Trek Discovery. Most of them questions. So Frank, what would you like to start with? You want to start talking about Star Trek, or do you want to start talking about the CW? Because we have not, in friendship or on the podcast, talked about anything that's happened in the first half of any of those seasons.
No, we haven't really. Why don't we start with the CW and knock a couple of those out and then talk Trek.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. Do you want to go in release schedule order?
Yeah, let's talk about Supergirl. We never talk about that. No, I'm kidding. If you want to hear us talk about Supergirl at length, you can head on over to SupergirlTVTalk.com because we have a whole show about that. But I guess very, very briefly, I think we're both enjoying season 3 of Supergirl. I think it's kind of a return to some of season 1's focus on the comic books with a little bit of season 2's relationship stuff. Is that a fair assessment, you think?
Yes, except that I think that the quality of the overall story arc, the story arc of the season is better this season than it was in the first and second season.
I agree.
I'm enjoying the World Killer story much more than I had the Fort Roz story or the Daxamite story. So I'm on board for this season. And you can check that out at SupergirlTVTalk.com for if you want to hear more thoughts on that. So let's move. Shall we move right along?
Yeah.
I do have a question before we start talking. What is the limit of how, like, where do we stop talking about things that have happened or not happened or anything like that? Do we stop at the mid-season break or do we wear two episodes now just in on each of the shows, except for Legends of Tomorrow, which isn't coming back until Supergirl is on hiatus? But
I say let's just go up to the midseason break. Let's not go past that, so that we don't spoil anybody who's maybe an episode or two behind.
That's great because I have not watched Arrow yet, so that's
neither have I.
That works. That's perfect. That works. It's just they moved it to Thursdays, man, and it threw off my groove.
Yeah,
like Wednesday was a great day. I watched it when I got home from work because I got home just about when it was ending. But no, of course now. Now it's on Thursday, so I can't watch it ever until pretty much the following Wednesday.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
This Wednesday coming up, it's time to watch Arrow.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like always a week behind on most of these shows, and then when I can find an hour or two here or there, I catch up on them. So I hear you.
Yeah. All right. So The Flash, this season, we've been looking at the marriage of Barry and Iris. We're looking at The Thinker. We're looking at Elongated Man. Where do you stand on any of these things?
I wish Ralph Dibny was a little bit less of a punchline.
A tool bag.
Oh, he's a tool. That, yeah. Yeah, he is a tool though. I don't find him very likable, and I like the character of Ralph Dibny from comics, but, this portrayal is not really my version. But that said, you know, he seems like he's sort of like he's a tool, but he wants to be good. He wants to improve. I just think that, like, honestly, he's like really sexist and it makes me uncomfortable, especially in this day and age, in this climate. It's like we don't really need this right now. I get that maybe it's a redemption thing and he's going to get better, but like it's taking a little longer than I want it to. And I don't really enjoy watching him be a tool in the meantime.
That's an excellent reading on him, actually. He to me feels like kind of like Mon-El felt last season. You know, yeah. like, you know, but at least Mon-El had like the benefit of I'm not from this planet kind of thing, where Ralph Dibny is just kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
But there is a definite growth to his character, even in, you know, as the season has progressed. And I guess better judgment almost, I do like him. I think the actor portraying him is really charismatic. And he has a good chemistry with the rest of the cast. He kind of reminds me of Jim Carrey.
Oh yeah, I totally get that, actually. Yes.
Yeah, so maybe that's it. And maybe it's partly you know, because I like that character. The Elongated Man first appeared in The Flash. That's where they were friends going back all the way to the 50s. That was his first appearance. And so I love that they brought him into the show and then he's part of the team, because that's some really deep, like, comic love right there. If they kept him there and then they took Ray Palmer off of Legends of Tomorrow and brought him to The Flash, that's the original best friend league of The Flash. Elongated Man, Flash, and the Atom.
I would so be there for that. I would so be there for that.
Yeah, all there. They hung out together. Their wives hung out together. Those were the guys. And so I would love to get to a point on the show to see that again. And I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will get there. Eventually, maybe not with Ray, but at least with Elongated Man, with Ralph Dibny. Do you think we're going to see Sue Dibny anytime?
I was just going to ask you that same question. I bet we'll at least see her hinted at.
Yeah, I think so too. I guess it depends if the how much the Flash has legs, I guess, you know, how much the show has like longevity to it, you know, and where they want to go with that. After so there's always a part of me that feels like these shows are going to go away every season. Like I'm just nervous that this great kind of bubble that we're living in, this state of geekdom that we're living in, that, you know, there's all these movies and there's these TV shows and whatever, it's all going to go away one day. And so I'm really nervous that it's going to go away every year.
It's kind of like we grew up in the Depression when there wasn't anything. And now that, like, you know, we're in the post-war like economic boom where like it could all go away at any moment. Don't get used to it. It could go back. And but I think it's here to stay. I think it's here to stay. I think that it may not be the same. It may not be what we want it to be all the time, you know, but that's just because there'll be more of it. But I think these shows are going to stick around for a little while.
That's, I mean, even if you look at the biggest networks, most of them have some kind of superhero show on them. You know, FX has Legion with a Deadpool cartoon on the way. The Fox has Gotham and The Gifted. CW's got the shows that we're talking about. ABC has Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And another one that I can't quite remember the name of.
Inhumans?
Ah, that's the one, Inhumans. I didn't know what I was thinking of. I was trying to, you know, lead you there.
I kind of forgot Inhumans, to be honest. Like, not on my radar.
That's the exact joke. I saw an article recently that was like, did ABC stealth canceled the Inhumans? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't think that was much of a stealth cancellation. Like, pretty sure everyone saw that coming. So, okay. But the point being is that the majority of networks do have some kind of comic book related property on screen. And you're right, they don't seem to be going anywhere.
Yeah.
And there's kind of something for everybody too. You know, people who kind of like the weirdness of comics but don't like the costumes. You've got, you know, Gotham, you know, The Gifted doesn't have costumes at all, but if you like the power kind of aspect of comic books and the action, or like the CW, like us, the CW, here's just straight up superheroes. Like, that's what they are. Enjoy.
I like that all these shows are doing exactly that, where they're sort of taking different, you know, aspects of super heroics and putting those on display. My personal favorite flavor of that is what's happening on the CW with sort of they always say like heart humor and spectacle, like good old fashioned, like superheroes being superheroes pretty much right out the gate at this point on these shows. There's not a lot of ramp up time with origin stories and everything. Arrow had that, but in the early seasons, but these shows now it's like by the end of the pilot, you know, usually the character is wearing their costume and is being the hero. I enjoy that about these shows.
I agree. I mean, even in the case of Black Lightning, which just started, but I mean, the premise of the show is that he already was a superhero and he's back on.
Right.
So it's not even like, I don't know how to do this or training or people don't know who I am or whatever. Like literally everyone knows who he is and knows what he's about and he knows how to do it. And that's fresh.
That is interesting.
Superhero television. And you're right, because, you know, each progressive new show, they get a little closer to just like putting on the costume. Here's your name. Go, go, go. But this is the first one that's like, I did this for a long time and I'm back doing it again. And that feels rewarding, you know.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. You know, that's sort of like Dark Knight Rises type of thing of like, oh, I haven't worn the suit in 10 years. Like, you know, I can't get back into it. You know, that kind of story. But having that be the start of the show is really interesting. I have to say, I don't think I enjoyed Black Lightning as much as I enjoyed. I mean, we've only seen the pilot so far, but I feel like I like the tone of Luke Cage better than I like the tone of this so far. And I know that's like an unpopular opinion, but people are comparing the two. And my feel so far is I feel like Luke Cage is more for me than this is, but I'm going to stick with it and give it a few episodes before I, you know, decide whether I don't want to watch it anymore. But
I think that's a good point. I think it's an easy comparison, I guess, but in some ways it could be an unfair one because you've got a whole season of Luke Cage and one episode of Black Lightning.
Totally.
but Luke Cage is not really a superhero in the traditional sense, you know,
that's
and
true.
That season is really about him learning to become a hero, whereas Black Lightning is the hero, here we go, blah, blah, blah. So I think it really just comes to your taste of what kind of, you know, what kind of story interests you, or what kind of hero do you approve of or want to follow or whatever. And Black Lightning is just kind of the story that I guess Luke Cage didn't really do anything new for me or interesting. Mm-hmm. I liked bits of it, but I think that he wasn't the interesting part to me. It was, you know, Cottonmouth was
Cottonmouth.
Interesting. The music in the club was interesting.
So good.
That was fun, but like, that's not enough for me to like hold on to. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think Jefferson Pierce is an interesting character. His daughters were interesting. Mm-hmm. The villain is interesting, you know, and it kind of still has that unique flavor that Luke Cage had. So I'm more on board with Black Lightning, but Black Lightning is kind of what I wanted Luke Cage to be, like, you know, going out there, take some names, you know, look cool while doing it. And I didn't get that in Luke Cage pretty much at all. So
that's fair. That's fair. I will say the big fight at the end of the pilot of Black Lightning was really, really cool and drew me in. I really enjoyed that a lot when he like suited up and went for it. Like, that was awesome.
Mm. I have read an interview with Cress Williams, that guy, the actor who plays Black Lightning, and said the suit is like gets upgraded as episodes go on. And so they're not even done filming season one, and he's already on the third version of the suit.
I guess that makes sense, because like, if this was his first time out after several years, then it's you know, like, he's wearing the old suit, and then he'll get a new one and, you know, upgrade from there. So that's cool. I like that.
But he's not wearing the old suit. He's wearing
Right. Yeah, that's a new design. That's right. They showed the blueprint.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're just gonna keep modifying even this one as they go, cool. Which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Right on. That's cool.
So I go back to the Flash, because we kind of talked about Elongated Man and then moved on.
That's true.
What do you think of the Thinker? You know, we've had three Speed villains and now we're doing something different. So how do you feel?
He's a villain that I don't really know all that well. So I what I like is that for the first time, I feel
so
like
it makes you
I
think.
Don't.
Huh?
It makes me think, makes me stop and think. And for the first time, I feel like I don't know what's going to happen already. You know, like, I don't know what his story is or anything. So I get to watch it like, you know, non-comic book fans have gotten to watch this show up until now for the first time.
That's a really good point, because I don't know the character that well either. Like, I'd heard of him, probably read a story with him kind of thing, but it's not one that gets used a lot. So I've been really enjoying this season because it has been something different. And I like the idea of, it's not just, you know, somebody's faster than Barry, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And which, I mean, this guy, he technically thinks faster than Barry, but that's different. So there's a thing from the comics where Barry like speeds up his brain to think faster, and I'm curious if we're going to see that here.
Gotcha. I like that idea. That would be a really, really cool take. And I'd be interested in seeing what they do with that.
Yeah, I would too. Did you like the kind of body switch of, you know, the who's what, where, and how kind of thing of the finale of this, of season four? Yeah, season four. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a really cool, I kind of thought something like that would have to happen eventually. Cause they kept sort of emphasizing just how much his body was deteriorating. Mm-hmm. And so how long can he fight somebody in like a big chair thing? Right. So I like that they did the body switch. I think that's going to make for a much more interesting second half of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I think the big chair is like unabashedly comic book too. Like,
very.
So I enjoyed that. Do you like his new suit?
Yes, I do like the new suit. I'm not as up on the suit stuff as you are, but this one is definitely like a noticeable noticeable change.
Yeah. I love this new. I've never really cared for the two versions that came before it. I always thought the maroon didn't work as well. I understood the point, like, you know, because they were kind of adapting off of the Arrow color palette, basically. And so, but I'm glad the show has finally evolved to a place where he's wearing a bright red, and it feels to me more like a superhero suit instead of just like a jacket with an emblem.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like track pants, a leather jacket, an emblem. It the way that they've like contoured the lines and everything like that. It looks really cool. I like it.
It's a good look.
Yeah, Legends of Tomorrow.
I'm not really up on Legends this season. I haven't really watched the season at all, to be honest. So why don't you tell me what your thoughts are on it?
It's been a good season. I think I enjoyed last year a little bit more. It's been a personal season this year. So every time they go back in time, they always end up running into a family member, or it's about them in some way. And so, but that's part of the larger mystery of the season, like what villain is doing this and, you know, causing these problems and so on and so forth. So it's not just arbitrary, which is good that there's a larger plan. There's a villain on the way called Malice, mm-hmm. voiced by John Noble, actually, who is an excellent, excellent actor. So I'm excited for that. And Damian Dark is back yet again.
Oh, cool.
Because for a character that was literally a nothing character in the comics, they've really made him something on these CW shows.
That's really cool. I do like that character a lot. I thought he was one of the better Arrow villains.
Yeah, he's fun. He's fun to watch, and you kind of oddly root for him sometimes. And yeah, I like him a lot. And so he's kind of assembling like a Legion of Doom-esque. It seems to be this kind of, you know, between maybe Malice and then Gorilla Grodd and it being on the show. And it's been good. The show is so tongue in cheek. Like, it's, you know, like there's this whole episode about Ray going back in time to his childhood because his childhood self found an alien and he's been feeding it and keeping it under his bed. And it's actually it's a baby Dominator. And so that's like this kind of like ET-esque episode in so much that
Stranger Things season two.
Kind of. And so, but like it's really ET because there's a sequence where the Ray is in the bike with the Dominator in the basket and flying like over, like, you know, over the moon, but then the adult Ray Palmer in the Atom suit is following behind them. So it's like this like little caravan of Ray Palmers and ET flying. It's hilarious. And I just like the show doesn't take itself too seriously, except when it does, like the crossover. So,
right.
Yeah. So that's crazy. No more Firestorm. Wally West apparently is coming on to join Legends full time, because he's disappeared from the Flash, and so he's joining the team over there, which is great. Which I really like.
That makes sense. That's a good fit. I like that.
Well, we saw at the beginning of the Flash, I think the first episode, like he's been teaming up with Nate with Citizen Steel to protect Central City when the Legends weren't doing anything. So he has a pre-existing relationship with them. So I'm happy to see him over there.
I'm into that. That's cool.
Yeah. And then Arrow is our last one, right?
I believe so. Yeah. I've been enjoying this season actually quite a bit more than I had been enjoying the last like two or three seasons. Maybe especially because it's I feel like it I don't know. I never was much for like all the street level crime stuff that was just sort of like, oh, these guys are just, you know, like, we have to save the city and you failed the city. Like, that stuff wasn't as interesting to me as like this season, where the villain feels, I don't know, a little more, I guess like the hacker stuff is interesting to me, the Caden James stuff. Mm-hmm. And I like seeing Mayor Oliver a lot, actually.
Hmm. That's interesting, because I don't find Caden James super interesting, not in the way that I thought Prometheus was really interesting. Deathstroke was really interesting. Even Damian Dark and Ra's, I've kind of liked all the Arrow villains in my own way. But there's something about Caden, I feel like I'm missing something. Like, I feel like there's a bigger mystery with this character that has not been revealed yet to us. And so I'm just like, I'm kind of waiting for that to happen. Caden James sounds like a fake name. That's not who you are.
It does sound like it's like two last names or two first names.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, like, these shows don't make up their villains. Everything is pulled from something.
Well, sure.
Right? You know, they'll make up mob bosses or whatever, you know, like one and done villains. But like a big season bad that you get Michael Emerson for, you don't create your own.
Right.
You know, you mind what has existed and put a new twist on it. So I'm kind of just waiting for that twist to be revealed before I go, okay, now we're getting mm-hmm. somewhere. But I really don't feel like I have a good sense of where it's going apart from got to tear the team apart and, you know, all the usual stuff. So the season's been good, but it hasn't been great for me.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I've enjoyed it quite a bit. I liked it more. I've been liking it more than last season. I don't know why, but last season didn't really do it for me. I got a little bit tired of all this sort of like reveal after reveal after reveal. Maybe I had like reveal fatigue last season.
That's an excellent thing. I've never really thought about that.
Yeah, it's not that they weren't good, but it was maybe like one or two too many of them to mm-hmm. where I was sort of like, okay, I'm tired of like there being so many twists and turns, which is like, if like, you know, anybody who like writes for movies or television who might be listening to this is like, oh my god, like, are you serious? Like, we work so hard on that kind of stuff and you're just like, get tired of it? But like, I don't know. Yeah, I do sometimes.
Well, sometimes you just kind of want a story that's a story, you know?
Well, and it's also like when you get invested in a certain story to then have it like twist yet again and like the story you've gotten invested in no longer matters. If that happens too many times in the course of telling one larger story, that can sort of get frustrating.
That's an excellent point. Too many twists in your silly straw. Sometimes I just want the soda.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Did you, what was I going to say? I can't remember. So that's Arrow. Mm-hmm. I watch Gotham. You don't watch Gotham.
I do not.
Right? No. Gotham's been great. It hasn't been, I don't think, as good as last season, but which I really, really enjoyed. But it's still good. It's one of the more underrated comic book shows out there because it's so different than the other one. It's, you know, it's bizarre and macabre, but kind of funny at the same time. And it's really entertaining. I really enjoy that show. So, oh, well, hopefully it sticks around.
Who is the big bad this season?
It's been Professor Pig.
Oh, cool.
And it's been Carmine Falcone's daughter.
Nice.
To an extent. That's roughly it right now. But I feel like I'm missing somebody, but I can't. The show kind of splits into two halves. So they do like a one whole complete season arc in the first half and then another whole complete season arc in the second half. And so like Professor Pig was the big bad of the first act. So the second half coming up, I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I think it's Jerome who is, you know, proto Joker, but I'm not positive.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's great. But I mean, this show, there are little things like the Riddler walking down the street in his green suit, standing next to the Penguin, who's wearing like a fur collared long coat. Like, I know sounds dumb, but I mean, like, that's Batman, you know, like there they are, like the Penguin and the Riddler, and they're just doing. The show is like year one, Long Halloween. It's like Hush or whatever. It's like that level of Batman where like here are all the villains and they're all doing their weird, bizarre things and they're all getting together and here's the mob and here's and it's like that's the real fun bit of seeing all these characters together. So Batman can stay away for all I care because I'm really enjoying watching the villains do their thing first.
That is really fun. For someone who's like as into Batman as you are, that is like, that's a real treat.
And the Batman villains, I think like you can't get away with that with every show. Like you can't watch a Superman show with like Lex Luthor doing that. It doesn't,
right.
You know, we're working with like all these villains or whatever. It doesn't work the same way. Batman's villains are so unique that way that because they're regular people and most of them are kind of mob and crime oriented that you can hold a whole show without them, like them versus the GCPD and still get away with and still get away with it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool. Frank, before we talk about Star Trek Discovery, I would just like to point out that we're pretty much at our time. So did you want to talk about Discovery or did you want to save it?
Why don't we talk about it real quick? I don't know that we have enough to say to cover like fill a whole episode. So why not just kind of do our you know, kind of quick hit lightning round about Discovery. It's like I think the most unique Star Trek show you know in quite some time. There was a twist right at the beginning where it didn't go the direction you thought it was going to go, right from the first or second episode, right, where it seemed like, oh, okay, she's going to like become the captain someday, and then they very quickly threw, as I like to say, they threw a brick in the blender and really shook things up, and it's been a really, really interesting story ever since with the Klingons and everything.
Yeah, I agree. It took me a long time to warm up to the show, and by a long time, I mean really only in the past two or three episodes have I really been like, okay.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
Yeah, it's just really not doing it for me. I really don't care for how dark it is. Like everything looks kind of, it's very clean and pretty, but it's like everything's entrenched in shadow and you can't see anything clearly and everyone kind of is subdued and, you know, I don't feel like there's like chemistry between a lot of the characters. They don't like click for me the way that they should, but it's not until these past couple of episodes that I've been actually interested in what's going on. I'm like, oh, okay. So, I mean, I don't want to spoil it. So, but you know, up until last night's episode, have I been like, oh, okay, this is like, oh, I'm, what is going to happen? Like, I am intrigued now.
I haven't
seen. It took a long time to get there.
I haven't seen the most recent episode that you're referring to. I've seen everything up to there. But I haven't seen the episode that aired on Sunday the 21st, which I'm trying to remember what number is that, number 12, episode 12. Yeah. So I've seen 1 through 11, but really, so it's been since the midseason break, after the midseason break, that you've been most interested.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I think that has been far more, I think the character relationships are better, which make me more interested in what's going on.
I'll definitely agree that the story twist that they've been going down the last couple episodes has been, you know, more, I don't know, a little more, like, more intriguing and everything like that. But I was enjoying the show even before that, so I'm surprised you weren't enjoying it that much until then.
I haven't really been given any reason to care about at most of those characters yet. And so like I care about Doug Jones's character, the first officer there. I can't remember his name because I like Doug Jones and I like Jason Isaacs. So I care about his character, you know, but, Like it's, but it's not, it doesn't really have to do with them, the you know, the captain, the first mate or Michael or whatever. It's because I've seen them in other things and I have an attachment mm-hmm. to them otherwise. So I don't know. I'm going to finish the season certainly, but it's going to have to do something really. So season two is going to have to do something different for me to come back to it.
All right. Interesting.
It just doesn't feel like Star Trek to me. It just,
that's fair. It doesn't. It's definitely a big departure. It's very different. It's funny, you know, I hear you saying all the things that I hear myself saying often with a lot of, you know, like what I've said about, I don't know, the DC movies or things like that, where I'm like, oh, it's too dark. It shouldn't be that dark. So like I'm certainly no stranger to that feeling, but I feel like it works here because it's different for Star Trek. It the universe, you're right, even looks in like visibly darker than other Star Trek mm-hmm. franchise, you know, series and films have been. It looks like the J.J. Abrams universe, but everyone turned out the lights. You know, it's shiny and lens right. flare, but not as well lit.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I just want to see and hear people, and it's kind of like frustrating otherwise. Hmm. But that's okay. That's just me. I'll be curious what comes of that later.
I've really been enjoying the, you know, that she is a little, Michael Burnham is a little bit, she does the wrong thing for the right reasons sometimes, or she does the right thing, but in a way that no one will appreciate or give her credit for. So I find that interesting because she's not really an anti-hero, but she is she's
a selfish hero.
Yeah, in some ways, she's definitely more, you know, gray rather than black or white. But I also think that it's really, really. I like how she's sort of unpredictable. You don't know what she's going to do every time. She'll always do something that is ultimately the right thing, but it's not always the obvious right thing. So that keeps me guessing and keeps me interested, in a way that's. In a way that I've sort of come to expect from Star Trek, right? Like, oh, how will Captain Kirk, how will Captain Picard get out of this scenario? Like, you know, he'll figure out some smart way to outsmart the Borg or the Klingons or whatever. But she is, I like that she's not the captain. I like that for once we have a main character who's not the captain. And I like that with her, the unpredictability is not because she'll outwit them, but because she outwits people, but she will find a, you know, either a morally gray or even if it's not a totally morally gray thing, something that's sort of a morally creative solution, shall we say, to a problem. I find her very interesting, and I find that the way they get out of situations on the show is they get into these very, you know, sort of no-win scenarios, and they always find a way out. So I enjoy it for that reason.
That's a good read. I really like your. It makes me think about the show a little bit differently. I don't know. Sometimes you just, I guess it's like you and in the DC film. Sometimes you just like what you like, and it's hard to kind of,
I get that,
uproot yourself out of that. But like I said, it's a really good look. I mean, it's too dark, but it's a really good looking show. It's interesting, and particularly I think these last couple of episodes have really been more intriguing to me. So we'll see what happens, but yeah, it's fine. It's good.
Cool. All right, cool. Well, why don't you tell everybody where they can find us online?
Oh my goodness, Frank. Well, the people can find us at beerwithgeeks.com and Gmail and Twitter and Facebook. And you can write into us and tell us what you think about all these shows, or you can tweet at us and all these wonderful things. You can also rate and review us on iTunes, and you can check us out where all podcasts can be found. On top of all of that, you can head over to patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio to check out all the Patreon goodies there. And you can head to thoughtbubbleaudio.com to check out all of our Thought Bubble Audio shows, including but not limited to Academy Rewind, Supergirl TV Talk, Tolkien TV Talk, Starkville's House of El, Krypton, and Hate Watch with us. And of course, Beer with Geeks. Frank, I think I about covered all of it.
I think you absolutely did. Well done.
Thank you so much. Well, then, it's been a pleasure, my friend. And I say, until next time, cheers.